Today's scripture reading is Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
So John, the wild man in camel's hair, or whatever he was wearing at that time, calls people to the River Jordan, right? He calls people to repent, to be baptized. The heavens open up. The Holy Spirit comes down like a what? A dove. And then we hear God's thunderous voice fill the wilderness. These are the recognizable images that we have of the baptism of Jesus. And then we also have Jesus saying, "Let it be so now, for it is proper in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And with that, we have one of the most controversial scriptures in Scripture. Is righteousness a formula? Is it something like a list where we check off and we've done all the righteousness? Is that what Jesus is saying? What is righteousness? And in our tradition, you know, repentance usually precedes baptism. So why does Jesus need baptism? These are hard questions, are they not? One thing that may help us is to see that this is one of the few places in Scripture that we get to see the Holy Trinity all together. Right? We have the voice of God through sound. We have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. And then we have Jesus the Son descending into the waters of baptism. So it's fitting that one of the few that we see this community, the Trinity, present at Jesus' baptism. You see, the Trinity's presence, I think, reinforces our communal understanding of our own practice of baptism. That baptism is a gift from community, for community, with community, amid community, a reality that's embodied in our traditional, it's embodied in our traditional vows, baptismal vows. Y'all remember how this goes? When we have a baptism, the preacher usually comes to the front and they ask a question like this: "Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life? Will you include these persons before you in your care?" And then you all respond, "These persons, and I love that part of the baptism, that communal element. We see baptism in the light of the eternal community. And this understanding may help us understand these controversial words by Jesus. "Let it be so now," Jesus says, in response to John's plea, "for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Now, one of the interesting elements of this scripture is the Greek word prepo. Many of our translations use the English word proper. And I think proper actually may be part of our challenge this morning. What do you think when we hear the word proper? What do y'all think when you hear that word proper? I immediately kind of stand up a little straighter, you know. proper, you know, maybe use a different accent, I don't know. I decided to do a quick Google search about this word to see what would pop up first. Proper hotels in Austin. Austin Proper is a world-class luxury boutique hotel minutes from Lady Bird Lake. Or Proper Cloth was closely followed. Cloth dedicated to premium materials, exceptional craftsmanship, and a perfect fit, innovative, tasteful, and a better menswear experience. I actually bookmarked that one when I saw it. This is my personal favorite, Proper Cannabis, right? Expect a higher standard, discreet, proper quality delivered straight to your door. I didn't bookmark that one. But marketable conceptions of proper suggest distinction. Proper is about a higher experience, right? Proper is to move away from that which is common. And these notions, I think, are suspect compared to Jesus' use of the term in this scripture. As prepo in Greek can also mean, get this, conspicuous. To be seen easily, or even towered up. And these are dueling images. Proper conjures images of refinement that move us away even discreetly from what is common. And conspicuous is sort of an image of accessibility, of what is visible, towering for all to see. So I want to propose something as we move forward, that we sit with conspicuous rather than proper. That we sit over what is common and seen over distinct and removed. And it made me think of one of the lasting images from my time in seminary, which came from John Calvin. How many of y'all know that name? Somewhat. He's a French theologian who became very, very prominent in the Protestant Reformation. Now, I'm genuinely surprised that I remember this image so well. For those of you who have read Calvin, have y'all read Calvin? Well, you know what I mean. He wrote this big thing like that. And it's actually, this is just one of the volumes. There's a second volume along with it. These make for great doorstops, by the way, when you use it. Somewhere my wife is rolling her eyes at me for using this. But this is called The Institutes of the Christian Religion. And he once wrote, he says, "Scripture is like a pair of spectacles. Spectacles which dispels the darkness and gives us a clear view of God." Spectacles, of course, being an outdated word for eyeglasses, right? And it's a powerful image, and I think there is truth to it. I want to take it further. Jesus is like a pair of spectacles or eyeglasses. Jesus is the lens by which we see and know God. And through Jesus, we see the kingdom of heaven. So, Jesus goes to receive baptism from John. And this movement shocks John, as the scripture tells us. He tells Jesus that he should be the one receiving baptism from him. Jesus waves him off and insists, no, it's got to be this other way. So Jesus, our lens into the kingdom of heaven, moves conspicuously toward baptism. Not toward distinction or separation, but toward the basic element of all life, along with everyone else, Jesus descends into the water. So what does this show us about the kingdom of heaven? I think that the kingdom of heaven is like one with great power who lowers themselves. Lowering themselves to show solidarity with those whom they seek to serve. The descending into the waters is an image of solidarity. That the human struggle is at the heart of God with us. See, though we live cut off from one another, we live in a very divisive world, society, the kingdom stands clear in those who stoop to serve. Their descent is to those in need. They share their life with them, and it's in such folks that the kingdom rises for all to see. You see, the convicting truth of Jesus' baptism is that the kingdom of heaven is quite near. And I saw the kingdom recently. Many of you all know my family, we went to Colorado for Thanksgiving. And we drove, usually drive, and we were driving back. And disaster struck. We had car trouble right outside of Winters, Texas. Any of y'all know where that is? I didn't until we had car trouble there, right? And it was at a gas station while Jeannie was walking our dog that she looked back at our car at the fuel pump, and she was like, "Matt, is there a piece of metal that's supposed to be hanging off the bottom?" And I was like, and I really just wanted to say, "No, you're seeing things, right?" And as soon as I looked, it was the exhaust pan. It had completely disconnected from the bottom of the car. Now, I was driving with headphones in my ears. I was listening to the Texas football game. I won't tell you who they're playing. Thanksgiving should be enough of a clue, and we don't need to go there this morning, right? So I didn't hear the change of the volume of the car. So when the exhaust becomes shorter in a car, what does it sound like?
Boom, 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 boom.
You know, very, very big, right? And I didn't hear the change in that. So we called a mechanic who had just arrived home to eat dinner. And I know this because when I was on the phone with him, I could hear screaming kids and dishes moving around. And I could tell he was hesitating to see if he was to tell us if he was available, but I think he heard the anxiety in my voice, asked where we were, and then he drove right over. Not 2 minutes after he arrived, he was on the ground underneath the car, and then a moment later, I heard him say, "I can fix it!" But his lack of hesitation to get sort of on the grime and on the pavement, it struck me. And he got up, he wiped himself off, and then he instructed us to drive to his shop. It was only a couple of blocks away. And once there, to my dread, he began to basically, "Did you know that this is also wrong? And did you know that this is wrong? And did you know that this is wrong?" But the truth is, he didn't have to help us with any of those other issues. But he continued to work with me in diagnosing and then addressing each issue that came up just so that I would know about them if he couldn't fix them completely. And at the end, after 2 hours in his shop, it's about 10 o'clock at this point, he only charged for that very first fix. And the cost was nothing, truly. It was nothing compared to the time that we took off in his shop, the supplies that he had to use that he couldn't order, so he was basically tearing them off of his other cars that were there to make it work, and the fact that we had taken him away from dinner with his family the day after Thanksgiving. And then he even asked, "Could you text me when you get to where you are going so that I know you got there okay?" You see, the alternative, I think, would have been easy for him, right? Here is a family in need. They just want to get home. The husband doesn't seem to know anything about vehicles, right? Let me charge high. They'll pay me whatever they need. No one will be the wiser. He did the opposite. And there was the kingdom. Conspicuous. Towering in Winters, Texas, which I didn't know existed, until about 2 hours before that. In and through the one who had the power to make a difference. And his descent to show solidarity with the family that he meant to serve, even though he didn't know anything about us. Now, I have wondered this week, specifically, where this conspicuous kingdom will appear next. I've raised the question in myself, and I'm sorry that I'm going to bring this up, but it's been a question that's been lingering with me, because where does this towering kingdom appear during the clash between an ICE officer and a 37-year-old woman, which resulted in her death? Now, our hearts break for this outcome. And we pray for the family and friends of Renee Good. And my friends, we also pray for the ICE officer and his world. We pray with the conviction that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So where will the kingdom appear amid this tension of God's love? Though we live cut off from one another, though we live divided, and though we live with different spectacles, may the lens of Jesus Christ convict us. May the reality of God's love for all people be the source of assurance, fortifying each of us to stoop to serve, provoking a descent to those in need, inspiring an opportunity to share life with someone we may not know. As in such folks, the kingdom of heaven will rise for all to see. Because the kingdom of heaven, as we just discussed, as Jesus shows us, is conspicuous, easily seen, accessible in the light of the ones who lower themselves, using their strength to be with those who need. You see, the measure of kingdom strength is in the movements that lower us. So may we lower our opinions just enough to hear others and to listen to others. May our need to be right be less important than our deep need for reconciliation, which we all have. May our need for safety and our need for security be conscious of the ones that God calls us to serve, so that we may all see the conspicuous kingdom of heaven. So may we see that the gifts that God gives us are means to lower ourselves. My friends, may we see that our descent into the waters will not cause us to melt. We are not witches. We are not demons. We are humans. And our greatest strength emerges as we descend to those in need. So may the kingdom of heaven tower conspicuously in the world around us. Let us pray. O holy and living God, we pray that we follow you into the waters of baptism. We pray for the courage to descend and to be in solidarity with those whom you call us to, that we have the courage to lower ourselves, put another first. And we give you thanks for your Son, who shows us how, who goes before us, who stands in solidarity with the pain that we feel, the disappointment that we will encounter, but also the hope that we will rise and that we will see your kingdom. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.